Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. LinkedIn, we are talking about how to generate leads on LinkedIn. I want to start really with an overarching view of the platform. This has happened on every social media platform. It's happened on Google, but a platform when it's relatively new. The producers of that platform, the product engineers, they've launched it pretty much without like any user information. And what happens is they spend a few years, well, they spend about 10 years optimizing the platform to give the users the best experience possible. They're trying to give their users a good experience. You got to remember that there's a team of people, like the product engineers, I think they're in California. They meet up every week and they have a meeting about, okay, what are we going to do this week to make the platform better? And when Microsoft bought LinkedIn, it's going back like 4 years ago now, when Microsoft bought LinkedIn for $26 billion. Like, to put that in context, that's like way more than Google bought YouTube for, right? Microsoft's got a lot of this, right? So that the changes have been happening at a faster and faster and faster rate. It's almost like every time I log on to LinkedIn, I'm like, oh, wow, you can do this now. Oh, wow, you can do this now. And so like when I train people like 2-3 years ago and I'm like, this is how you generate leads, the 5 ways to generate leads. If you do that today, it's not gonna work. You know, you did one training 2 years ago. I'm sorry, but half of what you're doing is not working anymore. It's all changed. We see you there. We see you everywhere. That's good to know. Good night from Canada. Hey, Karen, how are you? We got Bangkok in the house, ladies and gentlemen. What's happening? If you want your profile review, drop your profile link in the comments. We may even be able to get to it. I've got a few of these open here from the event page. So this is what it means, right? So as a platform gets smarter, the days of being able to interrupt people and hack the platform for quick wins for your own benefit and interrupt people and get more attention than you actually deserve are finished, right? And it's not quite there on LinkedIn, but it's heading in that direction. And now is the time for you to adjust your strategy in order to be successful on the platform, okay? Don't the mindset that you want to avoid, right, is this, okay? Because I hear this a lot is you try something and it doesn't work and you blame the platform. And there's a lot of guys out there that have been doing something on LinkedIn and it has been working, right? So if you've got the evidence that it has been working and now it's not working anymore and you blame the platform, it's not the platform's fault. The members are still there. We've still got 706 million plus members on LinkedIn who are business professionals that have got a higher income than any other platform, right? That are spending 3 times as much of their time on the platform. So their session time, right, has tripled in the last few years. So what that means is if somebody was spending an hour on LinkedIn before, now they're spending 3 hours. So the attention's there, the members are there. So it should work, right? It's just that you've got to get the strategy right and you've got to be better, I'm afraid. Like there's not going to be these quick-term hacks because if you think about it, they want to give their users a good experience. You've got to be delivering more value and you've got to be delivering value in a way that people want to consume it. So you've got to, it's now more important than ever for you to get in the head of your customer and reverse engineer what the customer wants when you derive your strategy, because there's too many people that are on LinkedIn that are like, what do I want? And they want leads right now. And if they can't get it in a way that's like time efficient for them, then they're not interested. And like, I'm sorry, that'll work on TikTok, but on TikTok, people aren't spending like 3 hours. They're spending like 15 seconds. They'll spend like 2 seconds watching each video. The platform's got a low income demographic. Most of them are teenagers. So LinkedIn's still the ideal platform. You just got to get the strategy right. And you have to be adding value in the way that people want to consume it. Because people email me all the time. Why am I so low? There we go. People email me all the time, right? And they're like, Nathaniel, don't know why it's not working. I'm adding value, but I'm not getting any likes and comments. Okay, you're not adding value, right? You might be adding value in the way that you want to give the value, but you're not giving adding value in the way that people want to consume it, right? So you've got to have enough empathy in order to deliver value in the way that people want to consume it. The best way to learn, right, is to test and measure. You've got to test and measure different things. And that's, I think that's been a big part of my success on LinkedIn or success in marketing is I've always measured every step of the process. And then I've tried different things and measured that component. So like if I'm connecting with people, and then I'm sending them a message, I'm not really like looking at how many leads I get and working out whether or not it works or how many sales I get. Like I am looking at those things, but what I'm doing before I measure those things is I'm optimizing each stage of the process. So if I'm sending someone an invitation, I want to know what percentage of the people that I'm sending it to are accepting that invitation, right? And if the conversion rate's really good, like if I'm getting 70% of people accept, that's really good, right? But I'll still change the first sentence and see what happens. Oh, it dropped. Okay. So that I just A-B tested one sentence. I may even change one word because we're doing so many campaigns across so many different platforms. Like testing one word is quite feasible across different platforms. Patience is in the house, ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, New York. We've got a Melbourne investigator crash outside. Jeez, I hope everyone's okay. Thanks so much for being here, guys. I really appreciate your time. We've got a lot to get through today. So I've got like the five things written down here. Adding value was number one, right? And so I think like there's two sides to this one. One is you've got to like learn from people that are already doing what you want to do on LinkedIn. And hopefully I'm one of them. You should learn from as many people as possible, but make sure who you're learning from is practicing what they preach. Okay. LinkedIn's probably not a good example because I've got an invested interest, but like, let's say, for example, you want to hire somebody to do search engine optimization. It's really important that whoever you're hiring not only has a track record of getting websites to the top of Google for their customers, but is also doing it themselves, right? And a lot of these SEO companies will tell you things like, oh, you know, I got this website to number one, but you got to ask them like what keyword and how competitive it is. With the LinkedIn stuff, like you can have like a LinkedIn expert that's got lots of followers, but are they getting lots of engagement? Are they getting lots of sales? You got to look at all these things because if they're not getting results you want, then you're getting advice in the wrong place. You got to get advice from the right place. Most people give you the poor advice. Like even worse than that, getting advice from your friends and family or other people on LinkedIn that aren't getting results is a very bad idea. You don't go there for advice. You go there for the people that have done it successfully. So that you want to learn from the people that have done it before. The second group of people you want to learn of is your audience because your audience is not the same as mine, right? So what works with my audience is not necessarily going to work with your audience. And what you want to do is, when you post something, right, first and foremost, and this should go without saying, is you need to make sure that you're responding to their comments, okay? Always return a handshake because, like, if you go to a networking function and someone comes up to you and they're like, reach out to shake your hand and you don't shake their hand back, what are the chances that next time you go to the networking function, they're going to reach out and shake your hand? It's pretty low. So if you're going to be responding to their comments, always return a handshake. But like I suggest taking it one step further. And if you've got two comments on one of your posts, like I would be reaching out to the people that commented and say, hey, thanks so much for your comment. Like, what did you like about my post? What didn't you like about it? If you can, call them up on the telephone, have a conversation where you actually like you can get live feedback. Because then like the thing is when you're messaging people, it's like you've got like a 5% of like all of the communication tools that we normally have. Like when we communicate in person, someone's body language, someone's tonality. Marshall, you are misbehaving. Jesus. Someone's tonality. Marshall, we're going to have to lock you outside in a minute. No. Someone's tonality, someone's body language, you'd be able to read like, so call them up. You're going to get a lot more information if you call them on a telephone than if you just send them a message. Sometimes when I go to like Melbourne, I'll call up some of the people that were following me like early on in my journey, and I'll catch up with them for lunch, and I'll ask them things like, if they're not following me anymore, I'll be like, why did you stop engaging? You know, sometimes it's not to do with me. It's just they're not as engaged with LinkedIn. They're like focusing on other things. Savor the flavor. Hey, guys. So good to see you all here. Hey, Brian, how are you? Brian Ong. We got new comments. The comments are coming through quicker than ever. So add value. All right. So the second thing is, if you've been adding connections on LinkedIn, who's noticed, drop in the chat, let me know, who's noticed that they're reaching the limits of the number of invitations that you can send every week? And this is, I'm pretty sure this is across the board, but let me know in the comments if you've noticed that you've reached that limit, because I've been getting a lot of messages from people saying, hey, Nathaniel, I'm reaching the weekly number of invitations that you can send quicker. And from what I can tell, they're limiting it at between 100 to 150 connection requests per week that you can send out. And so if your strategy was just to like smash connection requests out and then follow up with messages, you'll be finding that you're reaching a limitation now, which is good for the platform, right? Because there's less spam. I mean, people say to me, well, you know, everyone's spamming everyone on LinkedIn. And like it's the people that are getting those messages, they're generally being reactive, right? So if you speak to most people who haven't taken the time to learn LinkedIn, which is understandable, by the way, like LinkedIn was created as a platform to advance your career, right? And recruiters would use it to find talent. And so if you like spend 15 minutes a day on LinkedIn and you go in and you see your notifications and you're like, oh, I've got all these notifications. I'm like responding to these messages from sales guys. I got all these connection requests. So I'm like, I go in there, like, do I want to accept this person? Do I want to reject this person? And you might think, oh, you know, I'm really particular about who I connect with because I don't accept everyone. But the fact that you're in that inbox, you're in that where you're getting connection requests, it means that you're being reactive, right? Like, yes, check your connection request, sure. But you've also got to be proactive. If you want to have a good network, you need to decide who's in it. You can't let the world decide who's in your network, because who's going to send you connection requests, right? Everyone's in it for themselves, right? Except for the very few that are crushing it, by the way. And so who's going to send you connection requests? Salespeople, right? They want to sell you something. Recruiters, they want to find talent for their clients. It might be somebody that wants to ask you out on a date. Is there any women tuning in? I hear the stories all the time about like guys hitting on them on LinkedIn. But in any event, it's like very rarely that it'll be a potential client. Like it will happen from time to time. But if you've got 100 connection requests that you can send per week, you can be sending all of them to your ideal client, especially if you're in business to business, right? And if you haven't got a niche, like pick one, you know, like pick one, even if it's just for your LinkedIn marketing, pick a niche. Because like if you've got 500 connections, right? And they're all in different industries and you want to connect with a lawyer because lawyers are in your target market. Like you might have two mutual connections if they're a second degree network, right? But how much more powerful would it be if like out of your 500 connections that you have, 400 of them are lawyers, right? The chances are the lawyer that you're sending that invitation to is connected to a lot of lawyers as well. That's his industry. You know, the chances are he's connected to a lot of them. So when you send that connection request, it might say, you've got 300 connections in common. And he'll be like, geez, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of connections. And he'll look at who they are and they go, geez, they're all lawyers. What am I missing out on? And then the chance of them accepting that connection request goes up. Okay. Like there was a conference I was speaking at, I'll never forget, in Melbourne. And, you know, there's like 150 people in the audience or something. And this woman came up to me and she's like, Nathaniel, what did she say? She said, and she, by the way, she assumed that I knew who she was, right? Because I've got 30,000, I sound like I'm boasting, but I'm just trying to put this in context. Like I've got 30,000 connections. That's the limit, right? And you can get people to follow you after that. But she said, Nathaniel, we've got 1,200 connections in common. Like, and that's like most of her network, right? You know, it's a fraction of mine, but she's obviously in my target market, right? Because we've got that many connections in common. But to her, like, we have more mutual connections than anyone else in her audience, right? So even if she, even if I didn't send her a connection request and she did a search on LinkedIn, if I meet that criteria of what she's looking for, I'm going to show up at the top because we've got more mutual connections, right? So yes, the easiest way to get more visibility on LinkedIn is to get more connections. This is true, right? Because you're going to have more mutual connections with a lot of people, but you don't want to be the most, you don't want to have the most visibility on LinkedIn with everyone. You want to have the most visibility on LinkedIn with your target market. So it's important that those mutual connections are in your target market. And like when I ask people, like, who's your ideal client? It's very easy when you're not getting a lot of business, like to go, okay, well, my ideal client is basically anyone who can pay me. So it's like, it could be this person. It could be this person. It could be this person. It could be this person, right? But your ideal client will just be one of them, you know? Because if you did get 100 clients tomorrow and you could only pick 10 of them, which are the 10 that you'd pick? It's got to be the ones that you can add the most value to, right? That you can help the most, that it will stick around the longest, that will appreciate what you do, that won't take up like a huge amount of your time. You can systemize the approach. That's your ideal client. So if you just by virtue of the fact that you pick one, your results will go up. So even if it's true that 20 industries are all your ideal client, pick one. Just to start with. You can always change it later. How do I keep in touch with 29K people? Well, this is the thing, right, Ian? Like, you can post on LinkedIn and people will just assume that when they post, everyone's going to see it. It's not the case. Like, it's not the case. The fact that you're connecting with them is one part of whether or not they'll see your post. It's this massive algorithm. So LinkedIn's looking at, first of all, who you connected with, who you follow. And then it's also looking at, like, what topics are you following? What other people are you following? But this is the thing that's going to impact it more in the future. And it's already starting to impact it a lot, is their user behavior, right? Okay, so if you imagine like, you know, when you go like a five-star or really fancy hotel and they have like a concierge there, right? So imagine that LinkedIn had a concierge for every single member, right? And their job is to give you a great experience. And so they follow you around everywhere. They look at what videos you watch. They look at what you like. And eventually, over time, they know you so well that they can be like, oh, here's a video you'll like, sir. You know, imagine that LinkedIn, that's a good analogy. I just came up with that. It's a concierge for everyone. And so it's learning what you want. It's the same. It works exactly the same on YouTube. You know, the videos that you watch, LinkedIn's, and LinkedIn's not just looking at what you hit like on or what you press play on. They're looking at how long you watch it for. All right. And they look at articles. They're looking at whether or not you read it. Like they call it dwell time, like how much time you actually spend on a post. So that you can see how being able to trick the algorithm is becoming harder and harder. If you look at like things, sorry for knocking the desk. If you just hopped on, we've got a terror of a puppy down here. There he is, Marshall, who seems to just like, his energy goes up when I go live. So being able to trick the platform doesn't work anymore. Like all those guys that are in engagement pods, like, so engagement pod is like a mem, you know, join this like group and you share each other's posts and you like and comment on them. But like what the LinkedIn algorithm is doing now, first of all, it knows that group of people always like and comment on your stuff. And if the other people in your audience aren't, then it's learned, you're teaching the algorithm to show your content to a portion, the portion of your audience that the reason that they're engaging on your stuff is because you engaged on their stuff. So they're not actually engaging because of the quality of the content. So first of all, you're not going to get realistic data back, but LinkedIn's also not getting realistic data. So they're going to find it very hard to show your content to people that are in your target market because you're kind of skewing them towards these other people. They're like, you fulfill one criteria, which I want to talk about, by doing engagement pods. I don't necessarily think that engagement pods are a bad idea. I just think that the way that most people are using them is a bad idea, like, because it comes down to being relevant, right? And so if your engagement pod is like, if you sign up clients and you put them all in an engagement pod, that's a great idea, because if you think about it, they're all in your target market. They're your clients, right? Okay. So if they're posting content as well, like put them in an engagement pod, and all of a sudden, like, you're getting more engagement from people in your target audience. It makes sense. And it'd probably be like 10 or 15 people in there, but they've got to be posting content. And you got to ask yourself, like, is this good for my brand with my target audience? Like, I don't do it with my clients, right? Because I would never do anything with my clients that breaks the user agreement of LinkedIn. And they've got a clause in there about, like, what do they call it? I think these words are correct, but it's about manipulating the algorithm, right? Manipulating the algorithm. And so this falls into it. The reason that LinkedIn haven't done anything about it is because, like, kind of is good for the platform, right? More engagement, more people spending time on there. Like, if you have to go onto LinkedIn and like 100 people's posts every day, you're spending more time on there, so it's good for the stats. So, you know, they haven't done anything about it. But whether or not it's a good strategy, you have to decide for yourself. LinkedIn hashtags, you raise a great point here with hashtags. In terms of, like, getting more views to your content, they're not that effective yet. And the reason they're not that effective yet is because when you click on a hashtag, like, the content that you see is not exactly, like, I don't find it's exactly what I want to see, right? It's not like Instagram where it's like relatively relevant. So they'll improve that. They're improving this all the time. So it will be more effective. But where hashtags become really important is this. On Instagram, right? You go to somebody's Instagram profile, what do you see? You see historical content. You see all the pictures they posted. You can scroll back for as long as you want, see all their activity. But when you go to a LinkedIn profile, what do you see? Right? You see their profile. You see a version of their resume. So where how do you look at historical content? Like, sure, you can go into, like, recent activity or whatever and scroll through there, but it's not very straightforward. But if you have a branded hashtag, a hashtag that's uniquely yours, and you use it when you post about stuff, people can click on it and they can find all of the stuff about your content, right? So hashtag Monday Night Live. Every Monday, I go live 6 p.m. Perth time, 8 p.m. Sydney, Melbourne time. Every time I go live, I use the hashtag Monday Night Live. So you could go watch all the episodes just by clicking on that hashtag. I think that's the biggest benefit of hashtags right now. Here we go. Nadia Owen, go to my network. Shows you incoming invitations by default. If you say see more, see all, it will open up to view your sent under another tab. 100%, 100%, 100%. Hamad, killing it with engagement pods. Good man. Only my clients in those pods. That's what I'm saying. If it's relevant, go for it. People misunderstand me a lot. Like, people are like, why are you hating on engagement pods, Nat? Like, I'm not hating on engagement pods. I think it's a great idea. I'm just concerned about the people that I'm just concerned about people that join them expecting that they're going to get a whole bunch of leads when the people in there are relevant. That's all. That's it. You know, when it comes to my view on them. And the other thing that concerns me about them, and I think, like, again, if they're your clients, it's 100% relevant. Like, you are adding value. You're adding value to those clients. Like, this whole, like, if you've got a book, right? Marshall's got some fans. I'm glad you guys aren't hating on Marshall. I tried locking him in his bedroom. He started crying. I caved after like 30 seconds. but like, if you publish a book, right? If you've never published a book before, and you do some research, you'll notice that you can become a bestseller on Amazon, right? If you follow a strategy. And there's even courses like how to write a bestseller, how to have a best-selling book, you know. Like, I've got lots of friends that have done this, right? And they have a sticker on the front of their book that says, I'm a bestseller, right? And so, and for those of you that aren't aware how they do this, it's like on Amazon, there's all these different categories, right? Like, of different kinds of books. And, like, yeah, you got business, management, marketing, and whatever. But there's these subcategories. Like, if you go to, like, medieval books, there's, like, even subcategories under medieval and stuff. And if you sell the most books on that day in that category, you're a bestseller on Amazon, right? So people will go in, and this is what these best-selling book courses teach you to do, is you go in and you'll find like a minute category, and you'll be the only book in there for that day, right? And so you buy a copy, your mum buys a copy, you're a bestseller. You put the sticker on the front, but the problem I have with that is you go to like do a talk, right? And you're like, okay, come and buy my book for $50 at the end or $20 at the end. I'm a best-selling author, right? So people buy it because they're like, well, you know, if he's a bestseller, it must be pretty good. And when only you and your mum have bought a copy, I feel like that's manipulation because, you may not be that good, like if you haven't sold any before. So to tell people, I think is very misleading. That's where I have a problem with it from an integrity perspective. And when I look at engagement pods, somebody producing content who's got 500 likes, who I don't know if their content's good or not. They could just people just be liking it because they like other stuff. I have to ask yourself if it's misleading or not. Something that I can't decide for you, but it's something to consider, right? Because we all want to like have loads of social proof, but if you do it in a way that lacks integrity, the problem is you're not actually going to learn how to do it properly. The only way you learn is from the audience feedback. So sometimes it's good if you're not getting any likes just to stick with it and not try and hack the system, because eventually you might learn something, right? And then all of a sudden you're getting 10 likes, okay? And you've learned one thing and you've got 10 likes. And you might think to yourself, oh, you know, still not very much. But if you keep going, you'll learn how to get from 10 to 100. That's the way it works. So I'm big on brand. The guys that are sending lead generation messages, right, connect and engage. Now, like from here on in, from today, today's the day that I'm telling you that is not enough anymore. You've got to be building brand on LinkedIn as well. It's not optional anymore. You've got to be posting content. You've got to be adding value. People have got to know who you are. You've got to keep top of mind, because you've got to remember, like, these people that you're sending messages to are getting hundreds of them from salespeople, right? And yes, there's ways that you can write the message to stand out from the crowd that will work. But in terms of the time invested and the money invested in doing that, it's going to be worthwhile you producing content. And so, yes, there's more of an investment, but the rewards are there. Like, this is one of the most effective ways to market your business is on LinkedIn right now. See, Bonnie knows what's up. And by the way, I just want to say again, because I often get misunderstood here, that I'm not against engagement pods at all. I just think it's something that you got to consider, like the relevance to your brand. Like, build a community, right? Build a community. And whether you use an engagement pod or whether you're engaging on other people's content or tagging them in your post, like it's good to work with other people that are relevant in your industry. You can even find other professionals that serve the same market as you do. Like, don't be afraid to connect with competitors. Competitors are going to have more connections that are likely to be your clients than anyone else. And so they're good to be connected with, right? If you're worried about people stealing your connections, then you need to do some work on your service and your product, because you shouldn't be afraid of that. If you're delivering value, like, to your clients, you shouldn't be afraid of people coming across. You should be confident that no one's going to take your clients, right? So business is not just about marketing. It's also about delivering exceptional customer service. And that's probably something that you should work on before you start, you know, building your brand on LinkedIn. You don't want to be like, if you're hiding your customers, if you're hiding the value you provide, hiding the information that you provide, then there's work that needs to be done on the back end, behind the scenes. You've got to be, don't be afraid of giving too much value. Give away all your secrets online. That's how you build a brand, because people will see you as a perceived expert. And if they see you as a perceived expert, like, you got to understand, like I give away everything that I know about LinkedIn all the time. But my clients, they don't want to be a LinkedIn expert. They don't want to spend all their time learning about LinkedIn. They just want the best person to do it for them, right? And by giving away all my secrets, I'm just telling them I'm the best. Well, at least I'm pretty good. But, like, you know, I sound cocky, but I've just built up a lot of confidence over the years. I'm doing this a long time, specializing in this area on LinkedIn, you know, and I feel like, you know, I don't think like I would be able to keep up with the trends as well as I have done if I was doing like LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram. Like I do them for my own business, but I don't do them for clients. And it allows me to spend so much more time learning about the platform, testing and measuring things just on one platform. So I could get really good at that. When it comes to like Facebook advertising, somebody asked me about that. I refer them to Your Social Voice. Kim Barrett gets the lead because those guys do Facebook ads all the time. They're the best. Like they're better than me, you know, at Facebook ads. But when it comes to LinkedIn, they get a lead. Somebody asks them about LinkedIn. They're calling me and they're referring me clients. So not only, you know, do you become like really good at what you do by specializing, but it's also like all of the people that you were competing with. If you were doing like when I was doing everything in online marketing, all the web design companies, all the SEO companies, all the Facebook companies, all the Instagram companies were all competitors. And as soon as I niched on LinkedIn, they all became referral partners, right? All the people I was competing with can refer me clients now, you know? So, I mean, even LinkedIn trainers, right, that don't do LinkedIn marketing services refer me clients all the time. There's not many businesses that can't refer me clients. Referrals are the best ways to grow a business. Okay. So I want to talk about social proof before we – and we're going to do some profiles. We're going to do some profile audits in a minute. I want to talk about social proof. Dudes, so good to see you all here. Lucas, my man, what an awesome photo. 100%, 100%. It's the best way to do it. Shush, shush, Marshall. I'm going to lock you outside in a minute. So good to see you all here. Okay, so social proof is about building trust. I think I need to get a new chair. It keeps sinking. And so the thing that I always talked about on your LinkedIn profile is building recommendations and endorsements, right? And so endorsements are like those skills, that skill section where you put in different skills that you have. The main thing that they're used for is by recruiters to find talent. So if I'm looking to hire somebody and they need to have skills on Microsoft Excel and they need to have problem-solving skills and they need experience in like management, I just punch these in as things I'm looking for, and then LinkedIn will crawl everyone's profile and see who's got those skills listed on their profile, right? So from an optimization perspective, they become important. Even if someone's using the general search, like a client, if you're using LinkedIn to get customers, then that's probably one of the most important places to have keywords that are relevant to what you do. So if you're looking to get a job, put in the things like Microsoft Excel and management. But if you're looking to get clients, you want to put keywords that are relevant to the service. So the way that you optimize a profile if you're looking for a job is different to the way that you optimize a profile if you're looking for customers. Very important. Because if you are looking to get customers, one of the biggest mistakes that you can make, well, do you know what? It's the biggest mistake you can make. The biggest mistake you can make if you're looking to get customers on LinkedIn is to upload a version of your resume to your profile, okay? Nobody on the planet, I've flown around the world, I've done talks on LinkedIn, and I've asked the audience, has anybody in the room ever bought anything because the salesperson has handed you a version of their resume? No one's ever put their hand up, okay? So if you're looking to get customers and your profile looks like a resume, that's the first thing you need to change, because nothing on LinkedIn will work if your profile isn't optimized. It's the most important thing, because everyone's going to look at your profile. You send them a connection request. What do they do? Look at your profile. Send them a message. What do they do? Look at your profile. You post content and they're intrigued. What do they do? Look at your profile. You put an ad up. What do? They look at your profile, maybe your company page. So it all falls apart if your profile is not optimized. You could have the perfect connection request message. You could have a perfect LinkedIn follow-up message. You could have the perfect content. But if your profile sucks, you're not going to get any leads. It's just the truth. So the optimization comes down to like ranking at the top of search results. It comes down to social proof. It comes down to standing out from the competition. Does your profile stand out from the competition? You know. So look at your competitors. How many recommendations do you need? Well, how many do your competitors have? Because you need more than that. You need more than they have. You need more relevant recommendations. Sure, if they've got like recommendations from their mom, their girlfriend, their sister, like don't count those. You need them from your customers. And you need to have like media in your profile. There's so many things you can do to add value to your profile now. And you know, like you're at a head start because most of your competitors will have a version of their resume. They've just made the biggest mistake on LinkedIn. So if you're not doing that, you're beating them. You know. Marshall. Get a home in the chair. Yeah, there you go. Someone needs to send me a chair, man. I didn't just notice this morning. Anyway, maybe I'll put on some weight. All right, should we do some profile reviews? What do you say? All righty. Okay, so we've got these people here have commented. Yeah, that's working. Okay, Bonnie, I've seen you're on the call. Chiropractor. Let's have a look what we got here. I help chiropractors drive visibility with digital marketing to my digital plumbing package. What an awesome business. I love that. So specialized. Very clear who your target audience is. Here we go. Let's have a look at this. Let's do some. You know what? I love this because what Bonnie's done, right, is she's made it very clear in her headline what she does and who she serves, right? So it's no mystery, right? So if you're a chiropractor and you get a connection request from Bonnie, you can immediately see it's relevant, right? And then she's got into sharing her story. She spaced it out really well for reading on a mobile device. I love this. Do you know what I'm going to suggest that you do is at the bottom of this about section, you put in like what people should do next. Like, so, cause if you tell people what to do next, and you just got to guide people like on how to, so you like, you'd be happy to serve you. If this sounds like you, contact me on this phone number or this email or this web, whatever way you would like people to contact you, just guide them through the process. Just tell them what to do next. Doesn't have to be a big call to action. Oh, I like this. Look at this. But because this is the live, right? So you're commenting on my stuff. I love that. That's awesome. Look, you could put some more content in the experience. This looks great, but it'll just help with your visibility. Like if you put a bit about this business in this section, it'll just help with your keywords. You'll have more keywords. You've got some social proof here with all these certificates, which is awesome. Your skills here look ideal. They look like they're relevant to me. You've got 7 recommendations. Bonnie, you've passed with flying colors. It's fantastic. Your education's in here. I just wanted to check the education was in there. It's an important thing that LinkedIn look at. And just make sure the contact, well done, Bonnie. Jeez, we're off to a good start. That's awesome. All right, let's look at the next one. Hamad, become an all-star LinkedIn user, LinkedIn coach, LinkedIn profile optimization. I'll tell you, into all-star. Canada Clubhouse user. Cool. Yeah. Call to action. You're going straight for the jugular. That's good. With powering users, might have to make that a bit bigger. I just want to make sure you guys can read or have a look at this. Help. How many skills? Okay. Yeah, I mean Hamad's a LinkedIn profile expert. Of course, it's going to be good. Okay, but boost up your endorsements. So how do you boost your endorsements? So it's very straightforward. Like, and this is one of the areas which, like, you know, it's not LinkedIn endorsements. Are they a good indication whether someone's good at what they do or not? No, they're not. Because the way it works is the more people you endorse, the more times you're going to be suggested to other people for them to endorse you back. So it's not a true indication of how good you are at what you do. However, it will have a subconscious effect. Like people will look at this stuff. So you want to boost them. So you just got to go and jump on a whole bunch of other people's profiles and endorse them. Obviously do ones that are relevant, people that you know, people that are your clients. 52 recommendations. I have a feeling that the people who have volunteered their profile to be optimized are all going to be good, aren't they? Good, aren't they? Because these are all fantastic profiles. All right, let's have a look. I'm sure we can add some value here. All right. Very good profile. Jeez, man. Mike, have you been... Mike's been... I feel like you've been watching my stuff. Like, this is exactly how I suggest laying it out. It's fantastic. It's brilliant. Well done. I didn't expect that all the people that volunteered would have fantastic profiles. Get your endorsements up. Recommendations. Yeah, I mean, you can get more of these. The reason I say that is because you've received four, but you haven't given any. And you know the way it works on LinkedIn. Like, people want to reciprocate. So if I'd actually focus on finding a few people to give recommendations to, and you'll find that it'll come back and people will recommend you more. Just recommend them. Recommend people. You don't have to ask for anything in return. The more people you recommend, the more people will recommend you back. Great profile. Well done, Mike. That's awesome. Yeah, this is. I didn't expect that people with awesome profiles would be the ones volunteering. Mutual. Okay, so you're in Shay's community. Cool. Email me for free. Blah, blah, blah. Hooper Reeves. Okay, so yeah. So by the way, guys, like, these profiles have all done a very good job of telling you what they do in their headline. If your headline doesn't communicate that, you want to make sure that you put it in the first couple of sentences in your profile. We just know that people don't have a lot of time and they need to know what you do immediately. Again, I'd tell people what to do next at the end of your about section. For those of you watching, you know, the about section, if anyone's going to read anything about your profile, they'll read this section. You know, it's a small percentage of people. But what most people do is that you get someone, send someone a connection request, they're going to hop on here, they're going to read this, then they're going to read, they're going to scan through this. And this is the way people scan. They read the first sentence, then they scan through that. So you'll capture people's attention if you put bullet points in there, right? But they're going to scan through most of this text. And then you want to tell people what to do next, right? Calls to action. And you got a caveat in there. I love that. Yeah, you notice the media and stuff. These links really help people stand out from the crowd. This is a great profile, another great one. Yeah, love it. Love what you're doing. Fantastic. We've got Christian here. Oh, I remember you, Christian. I love this business, by the way. Like, I love these niche businesses. You know, so clear what you do, so clear who your target market is, and you'd be proactive about who you connect with. You just kill it on LinkedIn. I love these thumbnails as well. They're brilliant. You guys are killing it. Well done. Tell people what to do next. There's a common theme, right? It's a common theme because you want your profile to convert. You want it to convert from visitors to leads. So if you're getting a lot of people view your profile, but then not a lot of leads, it's something to do with this, like the next step. Just telling people what to do next. It's really important. But yeah, man, great profile. Fantastic. Andrew, if you have I'm his best friend. Very clear what he does. That picture, the background, man. I was in Thailand when the tsunami hit, right? And that was exactly what it made me think about when I saw that picture. I understand why you have it there. I'd be considering whether or not that's the best picture to have on your profile. Because you've got that made me feel like fear immediately. Because I was there. I was there when they were pulling out the dead bodies from underneath cars and stuff in Phuket. And it was one of the scariest moments. I won't get into it in this call, but like, yeah, so I'd be considering whether or not it's best. Because yes, people are going through that, but when they come to you, you want them to feel safe. And so I'd be considering that image in the background. You can put some more content in your experience section, and social proof. Oh yeah, now you've got some good recommendations there. Yeah, this is fantastic. These recommendations, by the way, if you're ever guiding people on like what they should say, like including numbers and actual results, is fantastic. Brilliant job. This is awesome, right? Told people exactly what to do next. And my guess is he gets more referrals from some more inquiries from the visitors that he gets on his profile. Okay, I'm gonna stop sharing my screen because okay, now we've got some people dropping in the comments. Yeah, you got lots of good examples to learn from. What I'll do, right, is I'll go through the comments and the guys that have asked for a review. I will have a look at your profiles. We just won't be able to do them all live. What services will be done? Okay. Patience, great question. We offer lead generation services, and we it's funny Patience should ask this because Patience has just become a lead generation client who is doing like corporate fitness programs for people in New York, for businesses in New York. But we do content marketing as well. Like we produce a lot of content for our clients, and we do it in a way which like builds their brand by interviewing them and then chopping it up into micro content. So like I'm the one asking the questions. You may have noticed like some people on LinkedIn, like, oh, that's Nathaniel interviewing them. Well, they're our clients, so we're producing content for them. But like NathanielBibby.com, very easy to remember, NathanielBibby.com. On there, like we've just released LinkedIn Insider 2.0. It's one of the online course that I'm most proud about. I've put a lot of time into building that course. It's up to date. It's relevant. And I talk a little about there's a section on how you build your profile, right? Like all the things we've just talked about. And then there's a section on sales. Okay. Because a lot of people on LinkedIn generate these leads, but they don't know how to sell to them because they're a different kind of lead, like from Google AdWords or like SEO. These are inbound inquiries, right? When you reach out to somebody on LinkedIn, like you don't know if they've got a need yet, right? So you got to ask questions to uncover whether they've got the need, and that's a skill in itself. Like I can't tell you the amount of businesses that I've had that I've worked with that we generate leads for that don't know how to convert them into sales, and it's always frustrated me because like yes, can't you coach them? People say, well, can't you coach them, Nathaniel? Yeah, I can if they're coachable, right? But most people they don't want, like if I ask them if they've got a sales process, they'll say yes. And I'll say, well, what is it? And they'll go, oh, well, you know, we just call them and tell them about our products. That's not a sales process, right? You got to have scripts. Oh, I have a script when I call people, right? I have a script I say to people. Okay, so the purpose of the call is for me to ask you a few questions and to work out whether or not, you know, it makes sense for us to do business or not. Is that okay? I get permission, always get permission first. And I say, so tell me a bit about your business. And then I find out if they have the problem that I solve, right? And if they do have the problem, then I say, would you like to know more about how I can help you with that? So I'm getting permission every step of the way. You'll never see me start selling to people who haven't given me permission yet. But thanks so much for asking that question, Patience. I feel like that was a real good layout. yeah, guys, I'm going to go through and look at, like, I'm going to try and get through all of them. A little bit later this afternoon. There we go. You're welcome, Bonnie. For profiles of a product compared to your personal page. Yeah, there is. There is. And look, company pages traditionally. Marshall, mate. Company pages are traditionally not as effective as personal profiles. That is going to change. Company pages are going to become way more important moving forward. The features that they've released more recently for company pages are pretty awesome. I think now's the time to start building your company page. You can like add 100 people per week or per month or something. Start doing that. Build your followers. because you can't sponsor content on a personal profile. you can on a company page. And so, like, even though the personal profile does better organically at the moment, that could be to do with the fact that you've got more connections on your personal profile than you do on your company page. But it's also to do with the fact that LinkedIn want company pages to buy ads, so they're not going to get, you know, give people a lot of visibility. Do you know, this is my prediction as well. And this, I don't know this is going to happen, but this is what I think is going to happen. If I was LinkedIn, I'd be allowing personal profiles to sponsor their posts. You think about it, right? You do an awesome post from your personal profile, and then you can put a paid budget behind it to boost it. Because it's not like Facebook where, and on Facebook, you can have a page that's for an individual. And that might be the way LinkedIn goes. Maybe you have a page for an individual. But like, these are professional profiles. So, you know, shouldn't you be able to sponsor the post? Like, it's a business profile. It's not like we're just, you know, it's not like Facebook where it's all just, you know, individuals. Where a lot of the time, you know, the vanity metrics and the likes and comments are just for their own ego. Whereas LinkedIn, like, it's for the, you know, profession. My link. Oh, that's to do with your profile. I'm going backwards through the comments because we've got so many here. Is this a prickly? Is this an Instagram page? Thank you, Lisa. I like this picture. This is cool. Your podcast. Oh yeah, cool. Jeez, I've got so many profiles here. I hope I'm going to be able to get to all of them. So, build your network, guys. Build your network, start posting content, add value by you've got to be focusing on brand. You'll notice, like, in my content, in the organic posts that I do across every social channel, like, there's no call to action. Like, I'm just building brand. I'm adding value. Like, this is where it's at now. Like, if you want to be competitive, like, and, you know, Facebook organic reach is not dead. Right, I had Luke Hawkins on my Monday Night Live last night. He's still crushing it on Facebook. It's a myth. You just got to be better. You got to be better. It's still giving organic traffic. You just got to be better, more relevant, right? If your personal profile is doing better than your business page, it's because your personal profile is more relevant to the people you're connected with. That's it. It's just to do with relevancy. And LinkedIn's the same. This is where it's headed. You got to be good. And when I say I'm not at, like, when I say I'm not doing a call to action, like, if they look at my profile, I tell them what to do next, right? If they message me, I book them straight into my Calendly, okay? So there are conversion points. They're just not in my organic content. That's not why I do organic content. So don't fall into the trap of posting organic content, not asking for a call to action, and getting burned out with no sales. You need to be generating return on investment. It's just not – that's not the point in the process that you do it. Like, if people are watching your organic content, they're going to look at your profile, tell them what to do next. If they're watching your organic content, they're going to message you, tell them what to do next. And when they message you, you want to get them straight on the phone. You want to be going back and forth on LinkedIn Messenger. Like a lot of people, when I say get on the phone, they cringe. They're like, no, I've got to speak to somebody. Yes. If you want clients, you need to speak to them. Why? Because that's how you're going to be able to help them the best. It's how you're going to be able to add the most value. You need to find out what the problem is that they have in detail in order for you to be able to solve it. You start solving stuff that you don't have a clear definition on what the problem is in their words, then you know where I'm going with this. I don't even have to keep going. You guys are clever people. You know that you need to know what the problem is in order to be able to solve it, right? Muhammad's made an interesting comment here. Let me share this with you guys. Or you could also have your existing clients and share your most impactful content. But I know, just going into your profile section to leave your recommendations, also review your services. Yeah, like, this is the thing, right? Like, if you've got clients that you've added value to consistently, they will go to the ends of the earth to help you, right? And you can get them to do this stuff. Absolutely. Great idea. I love it. I love it, Muhammad. That's fantastic. I like your profile picture as well. That's cool. Lorraine's asked a really good question. Lorraine, by the way, is crushing it on LinkedIn. We're catching up for coffee tomorrow, I think it is. Thanks, Nat. So we add value in posts and have next steps in the about section. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And so like, and you're posting content, but you're also engaging on content. So if you think about it, if you add people into your network that are in your target audience, all of a sudden your newsfeed isn't just rubbish anymore. It's people that are in your target market. So there's this consultant I was working with. I don't know if I should. Can I mention the name? Yeah, I can mention the name. Omega Consultants. And they target like, he targets CEOs of mining companies. Had very few connections when we started working together. And so we started adding CEOs of mining companies. And it's been a while since like I'd worked with somebody with like a very few connections, right? Less than 100 or something, and no experience on LinkedIn. And so as Ed was adding these connections and we're posting content, he's noticing that all the people engaging on it are CEOs of mining companies because that's who's in his network. That's who we've been adding. But then I go to look at his newsfeed and it's all CEOs of mining companies posting. All of them. And so I said to Simon, the CEO, I said, you spend 15 minutes every week just going in here and liking and commenting on all of these posts. The person that posted, who is a CEO of a mining company, perfect target audience, right? They're going to get a release of dopamine because you've liked and commented on the stuff that they put time and energy in to create. Most of them weren't getting a lot of engagement. And so they will like and trust you just because of brain science. And so not only are you encouraging people to comment on your stuff, but you're proactively commenting on their stuff. If people comment on your stuff that's in your target market, click on their name, have a look at their post, engage on it. So now it's a two-way conversation, right? You're commenting on their stuff, they're commenting on your stuff. That's when you create this like community. And then if you think of it like the engagement ladder, so like they've liked one of your posts, his engagement ladder. Because people like likes don't matter and comments don't matter. And I understand why you're saying that, but if you're on the engagement ladder, this is where it matters, right? So they like on one of your posts, you like one of their posts. They've moved up one step on the engagement ladder. They comment, you comment. They message you, you message them back. You're on the phone. You're at the top of the engagement ladder and you're producing a proposal. That's how you build a relationship. You've got to escalate the engagement all the time. And so if you're just getting likes, yes, it doesn't matter because you're not moving them up the engagement ladder to the point where you actually have a real offline relationship with them. You know, I hope that makes sense. We've got limited time today to go through these things, but I thought it was really important for us to get on and talk about this because LinkedIn has changed. It's just changed. This year is a year which will separate the people that are using LinkedIn that are good from the people that aren't. This is the year. It's all changing. This is the year the algorithms got smarter, and this is the year that everyone who wants to be successful on LinkedIn needs to up their game. Okay. Look, if you want to know more about how you can dominate on LinkedIn, go to NathanielBibby.com and get LinkedIn Insider 2.0. It's the best resource I can refer you to. But otherwise, I'm just going to keep dumping as much value as I can, as much time as I can, as much energy as I can into the platform to help you guys succeed. I'm going to come back and I'm going to look at some of the profiles. I'm so glad as well you guys aren't hating on me for Marshall because it's been a pain in the ass this webinar. But thanks so much for tuning in. Bless you all. Have a fantastic day.